dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. A man who I've come to regard as an extraordinary intellect, a man of considerable experience and acumen in the national security arena, is our first guest. He is Dr. Peter Vincent Pry. We're catching up with him as he's about to board an airplane, but I'm very grateful to him for taking a few minutes to talk about some of the issues that he's been focused on for a long time as a career intelligence professional in the Central Intelligence Agency and subsequently in a series of positions on Capitol Hill, also with several presidential and congressional commissions that have been impaneled to look at some important topics like electromagnetic pulse and the condition of our strategic forces. Dr. Pry, thank you so much for finding a few minutes. It's great to catch you. Welcome back.
Always a pleasure to be on your show, Frank.
Let's start with something that I know you have been tracking very closely. You and your co-author, the former director of Central Intelligence, Jim Woolsey, have been writing copiously about the North Korean threat, both that of its missiles, which are increasingly becoming a challenge to our forces and allies and even our own people, I think, but also the possible use of satellites. Give us an update, Peter, in the light of the latest developments out of North Korea.
Well, we're concerned about the recent missile launches that happened where North Korea launched 4 Nodong missiles successfully into the Sea of Japan. These were simultaneous launches, might have been as many as 5. At least 4 of them were successful, indicating a high reliability rate. And these, according to the North Koreans themselves, were practiced to target U.S. military bases for nuclear strikes in Japan. One of the recent developments of great concern to us is revelations in the New York Times that the Obama administration had been using cyber attacks to try to interfere with North Korea's development of ballistic missile launches, to interfere with their launches from the launchers. And the implications of this is that up to this point, at least in the open source analysis, people have been assuming that North Korea's efforts to develop long-range ballistic missiles, like the Musudan intermediate-range ballistic missile, were failures because of North Korean technical incompetence. But now it seems, and the world knows, and North Korea now knows, that a major contributing factor to that might have been the cyber warfare activities being conducted by the Obama administration. Simultaneously with that, we have the WikiLeaks dump that tells exactly how the CIA conducts cyber warfare. This is all very bad news in terms of the North Korean nuclear threat, because if our cyber efforts had been making a significant contribution to slowing down the North Korean missile program, we're not going to be able to do that anymore.
And that may just be one piece of why this is problematic. Peter Pry, as you've documented in your writings, you have been warning of the unpredictable character of the North Korean regime and the potential for serious miscalculation on its part. Give us a flavor of how it may respond, in addition to a salvo firing of missiles into the Sea of Japan, to take this a new and much more dangerous step in terms of retaliation against what it might see as American interference with its programs.
One of the major concerns that I and my colleagues have, including the chairman of the EMP Commission, Dr. William Graham, and Jim Woolsey, is the fact that North Korea currently has satellite orbiting over the United States on the optimum trajectory to evade our national missile defenses and to make a nuclear EMP attack that could put an EMP field over all 48 contiguous United States and cause a protracted blackout of our electric grid that could kill 90% of our population in a year from starvation, disease, and societal collapse. That's not some theoretical future threat. That's something that we fear North Korea might be in a position to do right now, because it's got 2 satellites, the KSM-3 and KSM-4, orbiting over this country. And they are under the control of a person who's, frankly, psychotic. You know, Kim Jong-un is Caligula armed with nuclear weapons.
A frightening prospect. Peter, this is against the backdrop of some testimony we received just in the past day or so from senior officials of the United States military, the vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Strategic Forces Command commander, really warning about the very, very problematic condition of our deterrent. They talk about have to do a just-in-time modernization to basically keep it going, that they've really wrung out all of the deterrent juice that you could expect out of aging, in fact, obsolescing systems, really raising a red flag that especially as a North Korea perhaps is making calculations as to whether they could undertake such a frightening scenario, but they might be able to get away with it. What are your thoughts on that, Peter, having studied that issue closely as well?
Well, we are extremely concerned about this. Testimony given by the EMP Commission in 2008, unclassified testimony, noted that the North Koreans probably have got a super EMP weapon. This is a weapon capable of making extraordinarily powerful EMP fields that would exceed the hardness of our hardest command and control and missile forces, which in the congressional testimony is given as 50,000 volts per meter. That's what we're hardened at. But a super EMP weapon could make potentially up to 200,000 volts per meter, you know, eight times higher levels. So this means they could not just shut down the electric grid, but potentially they could also paralyze our military forces and our nuclear deterrent as well. And this has been known now because it was disclosed in the congressional testimony back in 2008. It's been known to the world for 8 years. So in this respect, is an area where they could get away with it, you know, by paralyzing our forces. They could also get away with it by doing an anonymous EMP attack. You know, if they detonated one of those satellites, we wouldn't necessarily know it was one of those satellites that did the EMP attack. These satellites are in low Earth orbit. They're mixed in with hundreds of other satellites. The EMP, because they come up from a southern trajectory, you know, we don't have ballistic missile early warning radars looking at that direction. We're blind and defenseless from that direction. And the EMP would damage the national technical means that we need to ascertain who attacked us. So there are several ways. You know, they could do it off of a freighter is another way you could do it to keep your fingerprints off of the attack. So, yes, and what you said about the decreasing credibility of our nuclear deterrent is tremendously alarming. There was another. We had one of the commissions that I served on, the Strategic Posture Commission, back in 2009, warned exactly that we were headed in the direction that we are in today, that you were talking about before, that our nuclear weapons and forces were fast becoming obsolete because of lack of maintenance. You know, we don't even make tritium anymore.
I know. I just saw a recent report raising a red flag about that as another coming problem for the nuclear deterrent, the capacity to boost those weapons to get the thermonuclear yields. Peter, before we let you go, I just did want to ask about one other question relevant to this WikiLeaks and the compromise of very sensitive collection capabilities by this country. It also highlighted another potential problem that one of our colleagues who has been very active with you on the effort to protect our country against electromagnetic pulse raised in a recent call with us, Dr. George Baker, namely that this Internet of Things, as it's called, could in fact open up with our refrigerators and our televisions and in the not too distant future, our automobiles being all wired into the internet or wirelessly connected, that we may well find that a new vehicle for taking down our society, a whole new level of vulnerabilities beyond just that of the electric grid itself. But very quickly, would you talk about that a little bit?
Well, you're absolutely right. And so is George Baker. And this is not, again, it's not a future thing. The North Koreans, the Chinese, the Russians, the Iranians, they're already there. When I talk about an EMP attack, we often talk about that, and we talk about it as if it's an isolation. But if you look at their military doctrines and plan, they don't plan to do a nuclear EMP attack in isolation. It's part of a combined armed cyber operation that starts with cyber attacks of exactly the kind that you're talking about, that go after the grid, that go after all their critical infrastructures, that go after everything that they can possibly disrupt using cyber means. Then it's quickly followed by physical sabotage, non-nuclear EMP attacks using radio frequency weapons, and the ultimate cyber weapon in this doctrine is a nuclear EMP attack. So it's part of a much larger sort of a blitzkrieg in cyberspace that includes all of these elements in coordinated fashion.
Yeah, all of the above, as they say.
And we're not even thinking about this. This is a major vulnerability that we're not even intellectually prepared.
Right. Well, Peter, what you've made clear to me and so many others over the years, Peter, is that this is harder to do something about if you don't build it in, this protection, this resiliency from the beginning. This whole Internet of Things concept has to be tailored to reflect that reality, it seems to me. Peter, I know they're calling your plane. You got to go. Thank you so much for your time today, my friend. Come back to us again very soon. Safe travels in the meantime. Elaine Donnelly joins us next on the chickens coming home to roost as a result of Obama's social experimentation and engineering of the military. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.